The text is the gospel reading from John 10. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Here ends the text. Clickbait is a headline or picture on the internet that's designed to tease you into clicking to bring increased traffic to their website. Clickbait is not for your benefit, but theirs. The sermon title, "Three Things You Won't Believe About This Text," well, that's clickbait, but it is for you. We think we know all about this popular text, but we don't. And you won't believe what we don't know. You won't believe whom Jesus is speaking to. This is Jesus' last public speech that John records before the Passion. And it's addressed to people you know, in a situation you know, but you probably don't remember. Jesus' disciples are here, his friends are here, his enemies, and that man born blind whom Jesus healed and was excommunicated because he could see Jesus, they're all here. The last exchange with the audience before our text begins is this. Jesus said to the healed blind men, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Those Pharisees who were with Jesus heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you are blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Then, with no break in the conversation, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," and begins to sketch the figure of a walled sheep pen with one gate, a shepherd, and his sheep. That's the first paragraph. And the Holy Spirit himself tells you this is what Jesus is doing, saying Jesus used this figure of speech. John never uses the word parable in his gospel as the other gospel writers do. He uses this word three times. It describes a figure of speech with an especially lofty point. Unlike a parable, it's not a story, but a pointed illustration. This beautiful illustration, which we know as the Good Shepherd, was not just said to believers, not just to followers or apostles, but enemies. The same enemies who Jesus said in chapter 8 sought to kill him. The same ones he said had the devil as their father. The same ones who picked up stones to stone him. They are among the hearers of this. But get this, no one understands what Jesus was telling them. That's what the Holy Spirit says. Not only didn't his bitter enemies, the ones who wanted him dead, get this, but not his followers, not his apostles, not even the recently converted healed man. The first thing you won't believe about this text is whom Jesus is speaking to. The second thing you won't believe is what this text is about. We hear the heading of the first paragraph in our head this way. They did not understand what Jesus was telling them, but I do. True, we're 2,000 years into the revealed mystery of who Jesus is and what he came to do. But do you see that this text is about intolerance? Now, right now you need to hear the dun, 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 dun. Because, you know, intolerant, that's the worst thing you can be in 21st century America. All religions are equal, you know. Your truth can't cancel out anybody else's truth. You can't criticize anyone for the choices they make, whether it's killing an unborn baby, deciding to change gender, or live as husband and wife without being married. It's all potato, potato, tomato, tomato. However, the mark of genuine revelation from God is exclusiveness and intolerance. Once the true way, the only gate, the one shepherd is revealed, it's impossible to accept or even tolerate another way, other gates, or other shepherds. So be intolerant of any shepherd who comes to you apart from the gate Jesus. Be intolerant of other voices than that of Jesus. Be intolerant of any way to heaven other than Jesus, other than his keeping of the law in your place, other than his paying for your breaking of those laws. Be intolerant of those who speak of you doing things for Jesus rather than the shepherd doing the acting and the sheep doing the receiving. Whoever enters into the sheep pen apart from the gate Jesus can only be a thief and a robber. Take a breath and hear what Jesus is saying to whom. He's telling the healed man and all who were afraid to confess Jesus because the Pharisees would excommunicate them that the Pharisees are thieves and robbers. And remember, we're just months from the crucifixion. And who's going to be hanging between two thieves? Actually, the word thieves in our text is not the word used there. It's the word translated robber in our text that's used there. And who else is identified by John by that same word robber? Barabbas. You see the irony? Do you see the shame? Do you see the tragedy that's unfolding here? Those in our text couldn't, but you sure can. This is Hercules' wife being tricked into using poison on him, thinking she was giving him a love potion. Or if you prefer an illustration from Scripture, this is Haman dying on the scaffolds that he built for Mordecai. Just months before Good Friday, Jesus says his enemies are robbers. How they must have hooted and hollered when the crowd chose to save a robber and crucify Jesus. How they must have jeered at the cross as Jesus hung suffering and dying, bleeding and sighing between two robbers. The first thing you won't believe about this text is whom Jesus is speaking to. The second thing is what the text is about. And the third thing you won't believe about this text is who Jesus' words are for. Sure, they are for the healed blind man to know that he sees everything more clearly now. Sure, the apostles are to know that being sent by Jesus as they were means they are not in the category of thieves and robbers who come of their own accord. Scripture always makes that distinction. False teachers come. The true ones are always sent. This is why our confession of faith doesn't recognize self-called pastors. No one decides on their own that the Holy Spirit has told him to be a pastor or wants him to be one. But this text is more than for followers, believers, apostles, and friends of Jesus. It's for his enemies, the thieves and robbers who want to see him dead, and Jesus knows will eventually succeed. Just like to the very end, Jesus calls Judas friend. Just like to the very end, Jesus, with a look, recalls the denying Peter to forgiveness, even as Peter sees his sins in all their horror. Just like to the very end, he welcomes the dying robber into paradise. So Jesus at the very end tells his enemies too that he's here for them. I told you the first paragraph is identified as a figure of speech, and the Spirit says no one understands it. In the second paragraph, Jesus drops the figure. No one is going to go to hell because Jesus didn't speak plainly enough or do enough for their salvation. Both paragraphs are introduced by the words only Jesus ever says, and they mean far more than we think they do. Sometimes Jesus says a simple, "I tell you the truth." Sometimes he says, "Truly I say to you." But when it's all on the line, when living, dying, damning, and saving is on the line, Jesus says, "Truly, truly I say to you." That's as the New American Standard has it. The King James translates it, "Verily, verily." Even the 2011 NIV is better than our 1984 NIV insert. We have the simple and unremarkable, "I tell you the truth." The 2011 NIV has "very truly." literally the Greek is, amen, amen, I say to you. Our small catechism takes up this expression to explain the word amen at the end of the Lord's Prayer. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it shall be so. A newer translation has amen, amen means yes, yes, it's going to come about just like this. It's all on the line here, and Jesus leaves no one out. He's speaking to the most hardened sinners. He's speaking to the most certain unbelievers imaginable. That is, leaders of the church. And he says that he's there for them. I am the gate, Jesus says. That's those freighted words, ago of me, which is Jesus' revelation that he is nothing less than the great I am, Yahweh, Jehovah, revealed in the Old Testament. The time before Jesus said this to them in chapter 8, saying, amen, amen, before Abraham was born, I am. Well, that moved them to pick up rocks to stone him. The last time Jesus is going to speak these words to his enemies is in Gethsemane, and then these words will flatten them instantly. But not here. Here they are a promise. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever is not a big or broad enough. It's not whoever, but it's the word all. All as many as, or all whoever. That's the correct translation. The darkest sinner, the deepest sinner, the most hardened sinner is not excluded. Jesus is the narrow gate that is wide enough for a person riding a camel piled high with a lifetime of guilt to get through. Jesus is the gate that is so tiny that the biggest sinner can fit through. The key word here is me. That too is emphatic in Greek. The broad gate of good intentions, the broad gate of doing your best, the broad gate of being sincere about what you believe, well, that's far too narrow to get anyone into heaven. The big teaching that all faiths tolerated rightly by a free society end in salvation, well, that's too small. The wide gate that says pet sins can come with you into heaven, well, that's too narrow. The tiniest sin that you defend, accept, protect, is that little piece of metal that's in your pocket at the airport security. Beep, beep, beep goes the alarm, only in this case you're not going to be stopped from boarding a plane, but from entering heaven. That is not how it is with Jesus the gate. All whoever enter through him will be saved. Yes, though as you're going to sing shortly, you believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore, you are to believe the next two lines, singing them even louder and lustier than the first two. Though your sins are more than anyone can count, Jesus has for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. There is not a commandment anyone could bring up that Jesus hasn't kept fully, completely, to the nth degree. There is not a law that you have broken, poking your conscience right now, that Jesus did not fulfill in your place. But what about the payment for your breaking it? Well, no matter if you, an enemy, or the devil himself were to go through the stack of bills that you owe for your sins, no one could find one stamped past due. All of them were stamped on Good Friday, paid in full. And the ink is Jesus' blood. Now, clickbait is for chumps like me. This text is for all sinners. Even you. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.